Okay, calling the meeting to order. It's over 2:00. Okay, public comment. Any member of the public may speak on any item which is on the agenda. The board will only allow comments by members of the public on any item on the agenda during consideration of the item. And in case you are interested in commenting, make sure you fill out the comments form and get that to me as soon as possible, please. When the item is called, please raise your hand and the chair will recognize you. But I'll recognize the paper. The general public at the beginning of the regular agenda during the public comment period may address matters under the jurisdiction of the board and not on the posted agenda. However, any person wishing to make a presentation must submit their issue in writing in written form with copies furnished to board members. Presentations will be limited to 3 minutes. With that, we'll go ahead and get started.
Roll call. Maria DeAnda.
Here.
Jim DeMartini.
Here.
Mike Fisher.
Here.
Gordon Ford.
Here.
Darren Garrett.
Here.
Mike Lynch.
Here.
Ron Martin.
Here.
Linda Stotts Burnett. Clarence Willman.
Here.
We have a quorum. What Hank is doing now. Be able to patch this meeting, an audio of this meeting, into our conference room for any overflow. Anybody who comes after this point and needs to, in the audience that needs to sit, they can sit in the conference room and hear what's going on in the meeting at any time.
We've got two more items. Announcements is next.
Anyway, Tank, I'm going to put you on speaker, okay?
Okay, we'd like to introduce Michael Wright from the Results Group. Michael Wright is from the Results Group, who will be helping us in our strategic planning process. He has been and will be setting up interviews with board members and staff, senior executive staff, prior to the strategic planning process. And even if you're unable to attend the strategic planning days of April 28th and 29th, we encourage you to meet with Michael Wright and have your input with him about the process. Okay, anything else that you'd like us to announce?
That's great.
Okay. Very good. I believe that's all we have.
Any other announcements? Okay. Moving on to public comment. Now, I have one request to speak during the public comment period, and that is from Rhonda Biesmeyer.
Hi, I'm Rhonda Biesmeyer. I'm the president of RESCO. And this comment is basically just a public information comment. I was looking for some information on the website for Stansera, and I found that the brief history that's listed on the website stops at December 17, 2002. And I'd just like to make a point that for public information, I'm sure there have been changes and updates since 02, and I was wondering if someone could direct me to where to find those things. And that's all I have.
Thank you.
You'll do that?
Yes.
Okay. Consent items.
Make a motion, we approve the consent item.
Motion, second.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Okay. With that, all those in favor of approving the consent items, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, so moved. Okay, that takes us to the administrator.
Okay. First item is a discussion and action on directions for our actuaries, EFI actuaries, to complete the June 30th, 2009 actuarial evaluation and other actions related to developing fiscal year 2010-2011 contribution rates for both employees and employers. Grant Schmidt came in January, you'll recall, January 26th, to give us an initial presentation He had three, basically about three areas where he needed some direction from the board to finalize the actuary evaluation. That direction was on the amortization period for unfunded liabilities, how the employer contribution rates might be adjusted to pay for the amortized cost of the unfunded liabilities based on a decline in payroll, and City of Ceres and other special districts cost calculations. I wrote up some recommendations, which the board members have received, and basically to recommend that the amortization period be continued as the board has started last year at 30, this year to use 29 and 28 and so on, and future years until we reach a 15-year amortization period. Also, on the employer contribution rates being adjusted for members' reduction in pay, that we look at the unfunded actuarial accrued liabilities for the year as a dollar cost versus the actual or budgeted, potentially projected payroll for the year, and try to come up with a truer rate of contribution based on the actual or budgeted payroll. Also, with the City of Ceres and other special districts, is that they be taken out of the frozen liabilities and put into the same liability structure as the county and courts and STANCOG, and that would include a 29-year amortization of unfunded liabilities and using the solvency test method that EFI actuaries have. And also, the last recommendation is to use $14 million of non-valuation reserves, transferring those to valuation reserves to offset employer contributions as a pro rata share of each employer's payment towards the unfunded actuarial accrued liability.
I didn't bring any additional information other than, you know, this spreadsheet we talked about last time, and I've modeled here exactly what Tom has recommended. 29-year amortization of the unfunded liability for both county and the City of Ceres and other districts. 100% immediate phase-in using the solvency test method to distribute the assets. And then I've shown what the impact offsetting the employer contributions by $14 million would be. I distributed that based on their share of the unfunded accrued liability to show what the net contribution amount for both the county and the City of Ceres would be. I'm happy to model any other scenarios that you want, but you know, you guys already have the information that we presented on the valuation results, so we don't have anything new in terms of, you know, numbers other than the projections that we have here.
Graham, just to refresh my memory, right now we're all, and there's been a couple of proposals out there. Right now, we're just looking at moving $14 million over to that account.
That's correct.
So we're not looking, and right now we have approximately $50 million in our, that's kind of a reserve fund, for lack of another word right now.
Yeah, I think Hank's, the number was,
it's pretty close. I think it's a little bit more than 50, but that's
thereabouts. Yes. Right. Okay, so basically, we're not, at this point, possibly not looking at moving the balance of that into the evaluation account.
Correct. I can do that. I mean, if you want to look at what the impact is, we can do that.
As a speaking term, I would like to take a look at that.
Sure. How much would you like to?
All of it. One of the proposals that is on the table to be looked at is, what if we move the remainder, say, 40 million?
So if I move 50 million over,
mm-hmm.
and I guess that would mean no $14 million offset.
No,
then, right?
I'm talking about, we still have the $14 million.
Okay.
But then looking at what the effect would be, the remainder would be approximately
about
$40 million.
Okay.
Just what kind of an effect it would have over time.
Okay, so with no offset, the total unfunded liability payment for both groups is $27.8 million. That's the highlighted amount here. If you add an additional $40 million to the assets, that payment goes down to $25.5 million. So it's a decrease of $2.2 million. It reduces the total cost from 18.6% of pay, the total employer cost from 18.6% of pay to 17.7% of pay.
So we're not talking a huge amount.
No, because you're amortizing that difference over 30 years,
yes.
Over 29 years.
Okay. That's all I want to know. I just wanted to bring that reminder back.
Sure, that's right. That's not included in what Tom's proposal was.
Graham, would you go back to Tom's proposal and change the amortization period to 25?
25 years for both.
And see how that impacts.
Increasing it to about between 19.56% of pay.
And what's that do to
that? Is that as a percentage of payroll?
That's a percentage of payroll. So that's increasing the cost by about 1% of pay.
How about as a dollar amount?
Let's see. Total dollar amount is down here, which was about $48 million. And if you, let's see, 50 and a half.
So it's $2.5 million.
I think we have a couple of people that wanted to speak on this item, and go ahead and start with you, Rhonda.
Okay, as far as the request for the additional funds to be moved, we have a suggestion from RESCO members that the board consider a loan of those funds to the county versus straight out giving it to the county. We'd like the board to consider that for future offsets to the county, that rather than just giving the funds to the county, we consider that a loan to the county. And also, I wanted to point out that over many years in the past, employee contributions have actually exceeded that of the counties, and that was reflected in your 10-year financial report. So, a lot of the time the employees and retirees have contributed more to the fund than the county, so I think it's time that we decide that maybe if the county needs additional funds, they consider a loan for that money. Thank you.
Okay, then we have Dennis Misrawi.
Yeah, my name is Dennis Misrawi, and I'm also addressing the $14 million. And I'm going to start off by stating that, like, the California Constitution, Article 16, Public Finance, Section 17, Subsection B, states, and I quote, "The members of the retirement board of a public pension or retirement system shall discharge their duties with respect to the system solely in the interest of and for the exclusive purpose of providing benefits to the participants and their beneficiaries, minimizing employer contributions thereto, and deferring reasonable expenses of administrating this system. A retirement board's duty to the participants and their beneficiaries takes precedence over any other duty," end quote. The subsection states, "For exclusive purpose of providing benefits." It does not state vested or defined benefits, just benefits. The last part of this subsection was amended by the California Pension Protection Act of 1992, enacted by the passage of Proposition 162 by the people of the state of California, states that participants and their beneficiaries shall take precedence over any other duty. The meaning of the last sentence in the section 17B is clear. Precedence means priority of importance. Just as state constitutional provisions may be said to take precedence over state statute, just as federal statute may be said to take precedence over conflicting state statutes. The final sentence of section 17B establishes that the retirement board duty to the participant and their beneficiaries shall take precedence over any other duty. A retirement board duty to members is its highest obligation Before any subordinate duty may be performed, the retirement board must fulfill its paramount duty to provide and protect benefits of participants and their beneficiaries. Any conflict between other permissible object of trust fund administration, such as minimizing employer contributions, and the object of providing benefits to participants and their beneficiaries, must be resolved in favor of the latter, the participants and their beneficiaries. If the administrative decision intended to minimize employer contributions would adversely affect the protection of earned vested benefits or the providing of ancillary benefits to members, i.e. star COLAs, health stipends, etc., it may not be undertaken because the retirement board's fiduciary duty is of paramount importance and priority. In other words, this board is in direct violation of your fiduciary duties as defined by the California Constitution and several of your actions. When you transferred $60 million in non-value reserves in 2009 to offset employer contributions, then you suspended Star COLA, healthcare stipend for participants and their beneficiaries. This was the exact opposite of the mandate of Section 17B. You are now considering transferring more funds from the non-valuation reserves to offset employer contributions. Again, the exact opposite of the mandate of 17B.
Mr. Nussbaum, we have a limit of 3 minutes.
It's going to take three lines. First and foremost, this board's fiduciary duty are to Stancier's participants and their beneficiaries. We all expect you, collectively and individually, to follow the California Constitution in administering your sworn duties. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Let's go to Mr. Lynn Bettencourt, and I again remind everyone of the three-minute rule.
3 minutes. Well, outside of my 3 minutes, I have a document to pass around. Unfortunately, I don't have any copies for everyone, but it is just basically a summary off of the web page from Stan Sarah. And basically, it reiterates a little bit of the information that's already been provided. The top section speaks of the funding revenue. And the statement that in the past the employer has paid less than the employee is true. You know how often it's true? Quite often. The website only has information from 1998, but it predates that in this issue. But from 1998 through 2004, which is half the time I have on this document, the county contributions were exceeded by the employees in each of those years. That's 1998, 99, 2000, 2001, 2002, 2004. And they just came broke, basically broke even in 2005. The county pays a little bit more each of those years since then, but not much. So basically, these funds, if one were to look at it from one point of view, are 50-50 county employees. The truth is, none of it belongs to either one of those parties. None of this money belongs to anyone other than retirees. That's what that section read by Mr. Nazari said. Dennis was right. And that's why you have a fiduciary duty to protect those funds for payment of benefits only. The county, it's unfortunate, has a financial problem and has had financial problems in the past. And each of those times the county has had financial problems, this body has bailed them out. I ran for this board originally because the county had already been bailed out twice. Not the duty of this job to do that, but they did it because the county was short money. It's not even on the table, not something to be discussed or considered when you consider your fiduciary duties. Additionally, it happened again when I came off the board. I was off the board for a period of time, and during that interim phase, again, the county came in, took the money. I wasn't protecting it. I was only one vote. I'm off the board now, and I note, again, you folks are after the money. Not because just the actuary screwed up and cost the system money, and it cost the county money, because they've been a beneficiary of that error for the last several years. So if we look at that error, the county should have put more money in than they did. And they didn't, so they cheated. Not on purpose. Cheating normally is considered something one does on volitionally. They cheated because the actuary screwed up, the former actuary. Buck also screwed up a few other times. And I don't know why his body doesn't sue him. But you choose not to. So in that regard, you're failing your fiduciary duty to protect the fund. But in this specific regard, understand those monies do not belong to the county. The county's financial problems are not yours and not the retirees. And you're balancing the budget of the county on the backs of retirees who earned these benefits, who put in their sweat, who dealt with the county when they were working as employees and made a deal and said, we won't take a pay raise in lieu of you giving us this benefit. And in most cases, that was offered by the county because it was to the county's benefit to have employees that had good benefits so they could recruit and retain. The county had their own purposes, and that's fine. But when they set up that deal, it's a permanent deal. And now you're breaking the deal.
Okay. Thank you.
That's unfortunate.
Thank you. And we have Digestus. I'm assuming you meant 6A.
Probably. I don't know a lot about the things other than what I read in the paper and some of the things that are going on. But I know there's a lawsuit, two lawsuits, I think just the attorneys make money. But I'm also for protecting the system. And so one of my questions has been, if we defer, and I don't know if the term deferred is correct, but if we're reducing the payments into the system by $14 million, I'm not sure when that's going to come back. My question is, how much is that going to cost in the future? Now, my belief is the county is on the hook for the retirement system to make sure there's enough money to cover all retirees. So if they have to pay this back at some point, 5 or 10 years, and all the interest isn't accumulated during those times because it hasn't been paid, how much is that going to cost? I know prior to 1978, Vietnam veterans could sell their or buy their time back. We lost the war, so the county took that away from us. So in 78, after that, the veterans could no longer buy time back. But I got there around that time, and they were talking about how much it cost. And the longer you waited to buy that time back, it really went up a lot. And so it cost the employee a lot of money to buy time back. So I'm looking at this is like buying time back. So how much is it going to cost in the future by deferring these expenses now?
Chairman Chris.
Yes,
just to answer your question quickly, there's no interest cost associated with this because the contribution is what the contribution is. It's $48 million. It's whether that contribution is coming just from the county or whether it's coming from another pool of money, the non-valuation reserves that currently we don't count when we calculate the costs of the plan. So there's another account. And the total amount of money that's going to the valuation reserves, the regular benefits, is going to be $48 million no matter what. It's whether that's paid in part from, you know, just by the county and Ceres and the other districts, or if it's paid partly from this other account of non-valuation reserves. So there's no real interest cost.
I understand that. My question, though, is if we don't get the $14 million into the system, well, maybe do it this way. How much more money would the system make if we put the $14 million in? The money's in the system now. And so by saying, well, this is extra money someplace, we don't really count it. It's in there earning interest currently, right?
But it's earning interest for another purpose. That those monies are currently not part of the main system.
But at any point, this board can take that money and put it in for the purpose of retire. In fact, I just heard someone say that.
If we move it all into the valuation, yes.
So for my feeling, all the money that's in the system, whether it's in one pot or another pot, it's all there. and we're discussing now of not putting money in the system this year that would normally be put in. My question is, how much is that going to cost in the long run? If we compound the interest or over 30 years, or if the stock market does another biggie and we get a 30% year, 16% year, how much is going to have to be made up that would have been made up by the investor? And then I'll finish. Hopefully that explains it.
Again, it's the money is the money that's in that non-valuation reserve. We don't consider it to be a part of the system. It's set up now.
That isn't my question. So if that's your only answer, then I don't need a further explanation to waste time.
I'd like to hear it, Fran, just to make it clarify in somebody's mind.
When we calculate the cost of the plan, we compare the liabilities of the plan to the assets that we consider to be the valuation assets. Those assets that are in the non-valuation reserve right now, we don't consider them to be a part of the valuation assets. We basically ignore them for the purpose of determining what the employer contribution should be. The employer contribution is that amount necessary to fund the benefits for the current year, plus to pay back any shortfall we have when we look at those assets. So that shortfall, you know, does not include any of those non-valuation reserves currently. And what is being proposed is to move some of those non-valuation reserves into the valuation reserves, in essence, to consider them a contribution to the fund. It doesn't deduct from the amount of money that's coming into the valuation at all, into the valuation assets. What it does is it just decreases the amount of assets available for this other fund of money that we don't consider to be part of the valuation to begin with.
But this non-valuation fund, which has currently $57 million, it earns interest. That interest is goes over into the valuation, but we now have a crediting policy.
No, the way that your crediting works is the interest that's earned on those non-valuation reserves go to increase the amount of those non-valuation reserves. So it'll deduct interest which gets credited to the excess benefits, you know, if you transfer it into the main valuation reserves.
How much will you lose in that fund then? Because there's $14 million gone out of it.
That would depend on what the future investment earnings are.
But that's like an actuarial thing, right? That can be figured?
We make an assumption about what we assume earnings are going to be about 8% on the asset.
Do you assume how much there'll be a loss?
It's a whatever the amount of assets transferred times 8% per year.
Okay.
So, we're done with A. So we shall... Are we ready to make a decision on... take action on A?
Madam Chairman, I'd like to just make a... maybe ask Tom a question. Tom, have we... has this board ever not paid every penny of vested benefits to every retiree?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay. Have you heard of it, the board trying to not own up to our vested benefit obligations?
Never. Okay. Try to pay.
Is there a 2.5% cost of living increase that takes effect April 1st?
That's of this year.
Of this year. That and the for the retirees.
For the retirees.
And the employer or the employees, active employees, are not going to get a COLA this year, are they? Do you know? Or
not to my knowledge.
In the county, did they get one last year?
And perhaps Rick could speak more clearly to that. I think.
But the county is looking at no COLA and significant reductions
for next fiscal year.
Okay, and we're doing a 2.5% increase.
Right, okay. Because that's based strictly on CPI.
The county, for those persons that were in labor agreements, and that was about 75% of the county employees, did provide a 3% cost of living adjustment on January 1, 2010, and that was after attempting and successfully negotiate with the labor groups to defer that cost of living adjustment until the point in the future of the expiration of the contract. Having said that, we have almost concluded negotiations with all of our labor groups now, and we have tentative agreements with most of them for a 5% salary reduction. have already notified all of the unclassified employees that they will be taking a 5% salary reduction effective July 1, 2010. We have got some of those persons sitting around this table, and that will go for 24 months, so no dollar needs. But also like to point out that while the information is interesting relative to employee and employer contributions, the county did contribute over $100 million when it issued its pension obligation bond about 10 years ago to the retirement fund. And so in considering the relative contributions, you do have to take into consideration that $100+ million lump sum contribution and the interest earnings on that $100 million at that point in time forward. So I think that you need to compare apples and apples, and that's just a very important distinction. I'd also like to express my appreciation to your retirement administration, the administrator, and the work he's done, and to this board for even considering our proposal. The county, while our proposal could differ from Tom's, I say that I do support his recommendations, and would hope that this retirement board also considered it. Okay.
Brad?
Yeah. Brad Kildrew, City Manager, City of Ceres. I also would like to state our thanks to the board and the staff for all the assistance they gave us. As you know, under the previous methodology, Ceres was fairly benign in terms of its involvement because the formula had us fairly fixed. That's changed drastically. The times have changed, and so I wanted to say that we are also in favor of your administrator's recommendation. It's a little different than what we had asked for, but under the circumstances, we think it's fair. We also wanted to say that while we're a smaller component of the fund, we, as many agencies, are going through some very difficult times right now. Last year, there were no COLA increases, and we reduced our non-sworn staffing by 20%. This year, we're going to be asking a minimum 10% compensation reduction from all our staff, including sworn. And if the board had not taken the actions they did last year, and hopefully you would contemplate taking this year, in addition to the other, loss of revenues over the last 2 years, our retirement costs would have gone up over 100%. And so by you taking this action, we know it's very difficult, but the council does appreciate it under these very difficult times, and we're all struggling here either. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
Could you put back up there again, 25-year amortization as a dollar amount? And then leave it up there for just a moment, please. And then leave the 100% phase in the solvency cap.
Okay. It's there now. Let me know if you need any of the number to explain.
Okay, we have a question over here.
Tom, can you tell us what the dollar amount of payments that both the county and the City of Ceres made last year, just to compare it to what we have up there, roughly?
I'm thinking $23 million. Hank, you might know better off the top of your head.
Probably a little bit on the high side of that one.
22, maybe. $22 million, something like that. $22, $23 million.
That was after the 10.
Linda's indicating
it's on the
32-33.
City of Ceres.
Pardon me?
What was your contribution last year?
Our contribution last year in terms of the total dollar amount?
Correct, after the
$10 million contribution, was $1.3 million.
$1.3 million. Thank you.
Leave it up there for a moment. Well, I'm ready to make a motion that we make a 25-year amortization period as a dollar amount. We do 100% phase-in on the solvency test for the City of Ceres. We do an offset to the County of Stanislaus of a direct offset of their employer costs for fiscal year 2010-2011 of $20 million. And a $1.4 million offset for the City of Ceres. And then for the other special districts, whatever actual percentage of pay that comes out to do an equal offset for them as well.
Derek, can I just clarify that the amortization period is 25 years as a level percentage of payroll, not as a level dollar amount?
Could you change it to a dollar amount?
Yeah, it'll go up significantly. Sorry to... So that would increase the cost to almost $65 million in total. And then you wanted a $20 million offset to the county. Is that right? And how much for the series?
Well, let's leave it back as a percentage of pay and 25-year amortization period.
So you want to go back to percentage of payroll?
Percentage of pay.
Okay. That should be the level percentage of pay. Yep.
So that would be my motion. And then with respect to the county's request for the 12 years a year for the next 4 years, I'm not inclined to move in that direction at this time.
I'd be prepared to second that motion.
Can we see what those numbers are with those?
Do you want it with a 20? Darren, you'd set a $20 million offset?
$20 million.
$1.4 million.
And 1.4.
Mm-hmm. Are you proposing this amortization will just stay at 25%
for
the next few years and not
correct.
Go down to 24?
Correct.
I'm okay with that.
Could you? I just have a question about how long that would be expected to remain at 25 years.
I think, given the current circumstances, that would be the prudent thing to do based upon the feedback that you've given us. I mean, it's ultimately up to the decision of this board, but that would be my request, is that we stay at 25.
I'm just trying to establish, is that that's a permanent or a temporary leaving it at 25 years for a number of years and then eventually coming back down under 25? Just trying to establish if at some point it would come down under 25.
Or are you talking about a rolling 25? Rolling.
No, he's not talking rolling. He's talking 25, and then if later we decide to make it lower, we will.
Okay.
Is that right? Yeah. This year.
Yeah, I'll second that motion.
I need to hear the full motion again. By somebody.
Aaron. That was to move over $20 million to offset the counties and $1.4 million
city series and other districts.
And other districts.
25 years as percent of pay. Is that the?
Are we?
Or a district.
But are we being? Well, my question. I have a question. Then, so we're offsetting 21.4 million, right? Of the total payment. Is that where are we getting our percentages? Is that an even offset? I mean, are we offsetting one?
It would be fairly.
How do we know that's
it would be fairly close. Of about. A little over 11.7%.
Sorry, I'm just trying to give you the percentages. So that would be... Mm, 93.5% of that is going to the county, and then 6.5% would be going to Ceres and the other districts.
Okay, now how much of the total payment is the county making? I mean, that's what I'm asking. Is that an equal? Are we distributing that $21.4 million equally
What's the ratio?
What's the ratio? Yeah.
The total employer.
I don't think, personally, I don't think we can offset. I mean, I don't think it's right for us to
treat
the employers different. So
it's very.
I would want the amounts we're offsetting their payments to be, you know, the percentage wise to be equal.
It's so this. Then the 20 million is 93.5% of the 21.4 million. The total cost of 47.5 million is 94% of the 50.5 total cost. So it's within 0.5%. It's not exactly the same.
Okay with that?
I just have a little bit of a concern in moving 20 million over. I totally support Tom's proposal of the 14 million, and I'd even go so far as to add the additional monies to offset the city of Ceres and other districts. But again, this is the non-valuated fund. That's a depleting source. And we don't know what the future brings.
Well, I'm fully prepared in my mind. This will be the last time we do this.
Are we sure?
Well, from my perspective, this will be the last time that this occurs. And I'll publicly make that statement right now.
When are you up for re-election?
I have a projection that shows what the cost is likely to look like over the next few years. I don't know if that's...
That would be helpful.
Don't think you'd want to see that.
But that's,
yes,
assuming an 8.16
yes.
rate of return.
Although I can enter into it a different number for the current year, okay. if you'd like to see that, because I know that the rates so far have been higher than an 8.
I think the most views we can see to give us a good idea of what we can anticipate would be great. Oh, and we have no control over anything. I'm going to give you 1 minute, Lynn.
Thank you. First of all, I know the county said they put $100 million. That they owed, they were behind. They were in debt to the retirement system. So that was money they owed. But back to this point, when you consider $20 million, you're doing a flat rate, and you're considering that not based upon the needs of the system, but the needs of the employers. When you consider the needs of the employers, you're violating your fiduciary duties. You need to consider the system only. When you violate your fiduciary duties, you subject yourselves and the system to liability. I point out that my minutes ago. Thank you
Lynn, for your self-control. Yes, Jim.
Did I ask the administrator approximately how much is in those non-valuation reserves?
There's about $57 million. That was originally transferred or to be set aside for the revocable health benefits subsidy. There are some other funds in there also, but
yeah,
$57 million.
There's contingency, but about 57. Yeah,
about 57 million.
Sorry, just taking.
We'll leave about 36 million.
Okay, so the current cost is showing up around 18.6% for the current year under this model with the 29-year amortization that Tom had recommended. It's close here to the, you can see, 18.8%. This model is slightly different, but they're pretty closely aligned. And this is with 30, this is what the pattern looks like with 30-year amortization that goes down to 15 years, and that 30 started last year, so now we're at 29 years. Here, what the costs look like as a percentage of payroll over the next few years, you know, I have the numbers going further out than that, but, you know, we expect it to go up by 7 cents of a percent of pay next year, and then by an additional, 1.6% of pay the year after that. That's because we'd be gradually recognizing those actuarial losses that we are currently deferring, because we're smoothing over 5 years. If you want to see what, I know the returns have been better than 8.16%, if you guys have an estimate of what they've been year to date or fiscal year to date.
Is a 15%.
15%.
We want to count last month.
Yeah.
So then, in that case, the costs for next year, assuming no other changes, would be about 18.1% of pay. Keep in mind that we're also working on an experience study right now that may...
Yeah, I was going to ask, how about if we after the 15, if we change our expected rate of return to
7.75? Obviously, that would... this is what it would look like if we didn't change our assumption.
The rest of the
assumption. But your... Well, this is what it would look like if we didn't actually change your assumption, but you actually ended up earning 7.75%. You would be continually throwing off losses, right? And those would be amortized over a period of time. I can't show you the numbers right now if we actually changed the assumption.
Oh, you can't.
But if you did change your assumption, we would probably also recommend a reduction in your inflation assumption, which is currently somewhat high. Compared to what the market thinks, mm-hmm. in which case the cost might not change by very much.
Okay.
But let me go back to the...
Well, that's what I was...
We had another system recently that reduced their return assumption by 25 basis points, but they also reduced their inflation assumption by 50 basis points, and their cost didn't change very much.
Now, I just want to make one comment, and I'm sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, well, I think I have the same question that Maria does, is that, if you look at this, obviously the costs are going to either pretty much stay the same or go up quite a bit every year. And, I don't see the economy getting much better in the next couple of years for the county or for any of the other of our other employer agencies. And so I think it may be unrealistic to think that we're not going to be in the same situation again next year, and that the employers may not need some assistance from us if we can provide it to help them with their unfunded liability payments.
My comment to Lynn's comment is that, speaking for myself, and I believe the rest of this board, is we do look at our fiduciary responsibility seriously. And we look at it, again, I've mentioned before, from three directions: the employer, the employee, and the retiree. Our job, our primary fiduciary responsibility, is to support the sustainability of the fund in general going forward. In other words, an employee starting today, we got to look out 50 years, maybe, say 30. Okay, we have to look at, is it sustainable all the way to then? We're not looking about the next 5 years, the next 10 years. We got to look out to perpetuity. And our response, and the more things that affect the economy, the fewer employees you have less people contributing to the system. Okay, you have a growing number, and this is an overlap of the system that eventually I would assume taper out, especially when we compare things in terms of propositions such as, going to a defined contribution type of a plan, is you have overlapping systems. Eventually, you won't have enough employees funding the retirees, and therefore the county will be responsible for their payments into the system to sustain its viability into the future, and that means taxpayers. And that means everybody in this room. So to say that it's not interconnected and that we're helping one over the other, our job is to make sure that retirees get what they are entitled to, which was what they were informed of when they retired and or entered employment with the county, estimating this is what you are going to get. There was nothing said, nothing that was involving health care options. Trust me, I would love to have that. But I know the probability of me getting it when I retire is very little chance. And unless we come up with some kind of another system, it ain't going to happen. So to think at this point, and I understand where the retirees are coming from. I'd probably be right there with you if I was retired, but I'm not. So I have to look at everybody's side. And that's my opinion. Do I still think the $20 million right off the bat, like Clarence stated, I don't know what next year and the year after that is going to look like. And actually, I'm going to comment on a comment Lynn made a few weeks ago, stating let's not deplete this reserve, because that reserve serves a lot of purposes. So I just want to keep that in mind, because we don't know how much longer we'll need to go.
I would agree with you, Maria. I, I think everyone has to make or have a goal of system sustainability. And right now we're looking at a situation that's horrible. There's no Social Security COLA. There's a 5% cut in active employee salaries. That's not a COLA. That's a cut from your base salary. We were fortunate that, and we had vested benefits that gave Stan Serra retirees a 2.5% increase as of April 1st. We need to make the system sustainable so we can keep those vested benefits coming for the foreseeable future, for not only for retirees, but for active employees. So I think Darren's motion is in that spirit, and that's why I seconded it.
I just have a couple of questions for the board, because I don't understand. Originally, I thought the proposal was to request a transfer of $14 million, and then in a blink of an eye, it went to $20 million. I don't know where. Maybe I missed something along the way. I wasn't sure how that happened. And then also, what does the board plan to do when the non-valuation fund runs out of money? What's the next step when it comes to this same point and there's nothing there to take from the non-valuation funds? What is the plan B, so to speak?
I can answer question number one in terms of the $14 million was a proposal by the administrators the administrator, and with a couple of other items included. One of our board members made another proposal, which is perfectly doable, and modified that proposal to the $20 million. The $14 was only a proposal.
Okay.
As to your second question, I don't know. We're basically taking it year to year at this point.
Well, and I think there is no plan B, because I think once that money is gone, that money is gone, and the payment is what it is. Like our actuary said, the payment is the payment. That payment has to be made somehow. So that's at the bottom line. The system has to have a payment of, you know, whatever it is. And so when that money is gone and we're no longer able to offset that, the employers and employees will have to, the current employers and employees will have to come up with that payment.
But even with this motion, we still have $36 million left in the reserve, more or less. It's still putting pretty money in.
So,
less than that. Heard a couple times saying that employees will be losing somebody for something like 5% this year or some other thing. I've talked to employees the last couple of years, they've been getting COLAs. However, we're forgetting the retirees just lost $370. And what's the average retiree pay? That's over 10%, isn't it? 370? The COLA they're getting this year. So that's over probably close to 10% that the retirees have lost in losing the 370.
Yeah. Not to get argumentative or anything, but there was $50 million were transferred over to the county a few years ago as a negotiated deal with the unions. Of which many of those retirees sitting in this room today benefited. So that was a win.
Yeah.
Okay. Current employees have taken a 5% cut last year with furloughs, and yes, they have negotiated cost of living increases. Mm-hmm. That's out of this. This board really doesn't have a whole lot of choices on a lot of these matters. Things are as they are. It is what it is. You know. So basically, we can only address the issues that we are being dealt with right now. As Rick stated a little bit ago, some of us have already been, we're already dealt a 5% cut that will be coming into effect soon. So, most of us are not going forward, we're going a little backwards.
I thank God almost every morning for the retirement system, and that somehow I got to work for the county instead of not working for the county. And so my only question today was bringing up the cost that this money's going to leave so that people know there's a cost. Because this money's leaving the system. And just mentioning that I think a lot of the employees are being hurt by losing this money that's not invested.
But is it really leaving the system? That's, I guess, the question.
Well, it's not coming into the system. if we take $20 million and reduce the $21.4 million that isn't coming into the system this year, the overall system is losing money.
Remember, we're talking about sustainability. So that 10 years from now, you know,
I know,
that we'll all still be getting, I hope to retire by then, we'll all still be getting our basic retirement benefit.
Yeah. But so this at 16%, I think I just heard so far this year, increase, $20 million, that's $3.2 million that wouldn't be in, the system won't increase.
I'm sorry, I'm not quite sure I get that.
If we take a loss, if we give $20 million out of the system, or reduce it by income, and if we continue to do 16% as we've done in the last few months, that's $3.2 million that won't come into the system. So that's the cost I'm talking about mm-hmm. down the road. And right. just that you're aware of it before you make your decision. Okay. That there is money leaving the system. And I keep hearing people say, well, we're not, the system isn't losing any money. You know, it's like this is no money, but it's in the system earning interest. Okay. Earning investment.
Okay, thank you, Doug.
Sure.
Points taken.
Thanks. Thank you.
Two quick comments. You talked about the loss of money. I believe in 2009, all employees got a raise in January and again this past January. And the sum of those two was somewhere in the neighborhood of 8%. Okay.
Don't disagree.
Secondly, you mentioned retirees, and a lot of them would benefit from the enhanced benefits that was paid for. There are what percentage of current retirees actually benefit from the enhanced benefits? And there are a number of retirees out there who are being, that did get enhanced benefits. And you've even got the Star Cola folks out there who have been devastated by both the reduction of Star Cola and the health care benefits. So, you know, you've got to be fair with all of this stuff, not just the county.
Okay, thank you. So with that, unless we have any additional comments, questions, I'd like to call for the vote. And again, $20 million, 1.4, just as a reminder.
Can I just get a clarification? As I understand it, it's a 25-year amortization. Is that as a level percentage of payroll? Yes.
Yeah.
And just so the actuary has the correct instructions. Also, the employer contribution rates for the unfunded liability would be based on employers' projected pay, budgeted pay, not projections from the actuary of increased pay. And then $20 million would be transferred for county and county-like agencies, county superior courts and STANCOG, which are all paying part of the pension obligation bonds, and $1.4 million for series and the other districts.
The other districts would be like the mosquito abatement and cemetery.
Eastside Mosquito Abatement, Keys Community Service.
And I just have one question quickly before we vote from the actuary. I'm getting from you, you're sounding like you're not comfortable with the 25 years for a long period of time. Is that correct? That you would like to eventually see our amortization rate down to 15 years?
At least. Anything over 18 years or over is negative amortization as a level percentage of payroll, which means you're not paying the interest on the unfunded liability. If you're trying to achieve generational equity so that people are paying for, you know, for a gain or loss over their expected career, you want to get down to a period of as low as maybe even 10 to 12 years. So I would like to see it come under 17 or 18 years. I understand in current circumstances maintaining it above, you know, 18 to 20 for a number of years. And this proposal actually strengthens the funding of the system because it reduces it from 29 years to 25 years. We just don't want to see permanent rolling 25-year amortization.
But even with this motion, it doesn't mean we can't revisit.
This doesn't make it.
No.
Okay. So, calling the question. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Opposed?
Opposed.
Me too.
I'll give you a report now.
What's that?
I'll give you a report now.
Please.
Okay.
Okay, that takes us to item 6B, and that's the Sackler's item.
Okay, discussion and action on any write-in candidates for the Sackler State Association of County Retirement Systems Board of Directors to be elected at the May 14, 2010 Sackler Business Meeting. All board members received the March 1st memorandum from Sackler's about the May 14th election, upcoming election. The current nomination ballot includes all of the current officers, President Richard White, Vice President Tim Barrett, President Chris Johnston, and Secretary David Walker. And the Sackler's nominating committee needs any write-in candidates for this ballot prior to April 1st. They need notice by March 25th. So does the board have any write-in candidates for Sackler's officers for the directors?
No.
Okay. No, I don't think there's none. Discussion and action, 6C, discussion and action on the Sackler's nominating committee's recommended ballot for election. At this point in time, does the board see, that we acknowledge that we have received it. Do you see any necessary changes to it? Okay. Then the other item for the Sackler's business meeting is to have a provide a voting proxy. Normally the chair would vote, and in the absence of the chair, the vice chair, and so on. But also there must be someone who attends Sackler's. My understanding is Maria.
I'm attending.
You're attending. Mm-hmm. So we could certainly put Maria down as the main vote for Stan Sarah, and then we also need an alternate. Mm-hmm.
Who's going?
Mike, are you going to get it?
When is it?
Mike Fisher's gone.
Okay.
May 11th and 14th.
Oh, I won't be there, man. No.
Nope,
I can't go to this
train. Mike, you're going to be going?
Yeah, I'm going.
Okay. Then
are
Mike
you
Fisher.
Going to work?
Who else is going, though? Because
Marie and Mike can't go.
This thing's going to be Friday afternoon.
Friday morning. It'll be Friday morning, about 9:30.
It's me and you, Mike.
That's fine.
Okay.
Do you need a motion for that?
That would be good.
I move that Marie and Mike be the alternate and alternate. Or the
motion
of
the second.
Whatever they are.
Okay. Further discussion? Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Okay. So moved. Okay. Correspondence.
We had a correspondence from retiree Sally Potts related to an action that you took earlier, and since the correspondence had been shared with the board, I assume that you used that as part of the decision-making process.
Thank you. Okay. And we move to number 8, closed session.
I'll make a motion. We move into closed session.
Second.
Okay. So okay with that, right? Mm-hmm.
The retirement board voted to accept the hearing officer's recommendation and deny service-connected disability retirement benefits to Sean Donahue. Also, the board voted to cancel the benefits of Philip L. Ward service-connected disability retirement benefit based on noncompliance with the board's order, and to refer the matter to the state attorney general's office for his comment. No other reports from closed session.
Okay. Thank you. Members forum.
Fine. Yes. I'm fine.
Nothing.
I have nothing today.
Well, I will once again clarify for the record, and I know some people in this room are in the same boat, those that are county employees, but once again, I'll clarify the record. As a member of the Lieutenants Association bargaining unit, we only took a 3% raise in the beginning of a two-year contract. We did not see a 3% raise in January. Plus, we were the first employee group to forego our additional management benefits in an effort to work with the county. PFP bonuses, professional development, and then with the last healthcare and health insurance negotiations, as we all know, that resulted in an additional approximately 3% pay cut for most county employees, and that will continue coming December of 2010. The county is now looking at doing across the board 5% pay cuts for all employees that are in the bargaining units, which I'm thankful that I am. But for those unfortunate individuals that are not in a bargaining unit, they're probably going to see additional pay cuts because they're not represented. That is a possibility. So I just wanted to clarify that for the record, since some people think that you know, we just continue to get more and more and more when we're all living in the same realities. So that's all I have.
Thank you, Darren.
Good for you.
Nothing.
Just remember FPPC reports prior to April 1st. I have pretty many of them, but just a couple.
Still can't do an electronic signature, huh?
No. Okay. That's it.
If we didn't make any money, do we have to get rid of it?
Then we just go there, then, because I have to put the photos on.
Sorry, you get nothing from me.
Anchor Michelle, any comments? Okay, and nothing for me, so meeting adjourned.